Commissioners meeting. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway? Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And I'll just go ahead and introduce Mike Borzik to provide us with the information.
Excellent. For the record, Mike Borzik, 504.
Would you turn on the mic?
Turn this on, and now I am Mike Borzik, 504 Midpine.
There you go.
I think we've all been to this a couple times. Maybe not Mr. Laraway. This is our chance once a year to correct the irrigation roll, which I've printed off, and if you want to read it, it's 179 pages long this year. 10 years ago, this was a little more cumbersome, but I think working with utility billing, we've gotten it squared away pretty well. The one thing I usually like to point out is our water supply balance. It's just kind of a last year to this year, what we've done. Canal water that we pumped was 1.29 billion gallons last year. This year it's 1.55 billion gallons. Again, the reason for that is we picked up 318 acres in the CUNA Municipal Irrigation District last year on annexations for subdivisions. What's that? Just over a half a square mile. You'll notice our potable water used went from 86 million gallons last year to 85 million or 58 million gallons this year. We're really trimming that. Our water guys are doing a really good job cutting off the backflows and really using the canal water. Our canal water wasted has gone down. Again, wasted is kind of a relative term. We have to have that carry water, but it's still, they're constantly tuning that system. And we've got some new pumps and ponds out there, but we're getting there. We've got a carryover of 2,242 acre feet. We do a pumping rate of 30 or 35 acre feet a day. So that if the reservoirs don't meet 100%, all we're going to have is 2.5 months worth of water this coming year, but everything looks on par to meet 100%. And our water is mostly stored in Anderson. We have just over 7,000 PI connections, 110% over last year. We delivered 0.61 acre feet per home, beating 0.63 last year. So our water consumption is getting a little bit better on the end users. And then some more statistics there of our Boise County Irrigation District. That's our biggest irrigation district at 2,200 acres. New York Irrigation, 500 acres. And Nampa Meridian Irrigation, just over 80. And at this point, we don't have a pump and a pond in the New York or Nampa Meridian. We're trying to get that done. I don't see any scheduled protestants. We don't have any unscheduled, unless you're complaining. No. And then we just had a couple errors. To err is human, to really screw things up takes computer. Somehow these 7 or 8 addresses got on my roll, and working with utility billing, we scratched them and gave them a refund on their assessments. And I will stand for questions.
All right, questions for Mr. Borzik. Okay.
No.
Thank you very much. Good report. Looks like we're moving ahead every year, doing better. So
yep.
Appreciate that.
See you guys in again next year.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. And then we'll just let the record show that there were no scheduled protestants, and we don't have anyone in the audience. So I don't believe there's anything further we need to do here. So I guess we will just call this meeting adjourned, and we will set for the 6 o'clock regular council at 6. That was really weird.
If you want to say anything, it's all yours.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you go ahead and take the roll, please?
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
All right, first item is the consent agenda. Any questions or comments or?
Okay, seeing nothing, I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as published. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway? Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That brings us to public hearings. 2009-H, preliminary plat, 2004-AN, annexation, and 2005-ZC, rezone, Lynn Rock subdivision. Doug?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you this evening is proposing to annex an approximately 0.75-acre parcel into CUNA city limits and rezone an approximately 39.64-acre parcel already within CUNA city limits. The two parcels will make up a mixed-use development with C1 neighborhood commercial, R6 medium-density residential, and R12 high-density residential zoning district classifications. The total 40.4 acres will be subdivided into 208 total lots, 148 single-family residential, 26 multifamily with 104 units, 30 common lots, and 4 commercial lots. The applicant is proposing improvements to Linder Road and the construction of a new section of the Mid-Mile Collector West Jarvis Drive. West Jarvis Drive is proposed as an east-west major collector conforming to the city's street circulation map. Staff recommends that the roadway be constructed as half of a 36-foot street section, plus 12 additional feet of pavement widening with vertical curb, gutter, and detached sidewalk installed in accordance with KCC 517-13 and 642 and ACHD policy. As a condition of recommending approval, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended a statement from the city engineer clarifying sewer capacity for the proposed application. By mistake, staff did not include this in the packet, so I have a number of hard copies here for the council, if it's all right if I hand those out.
Yes, please.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
And then also, if it's all right with the council, I'll read that into the record.
Okay.
This is from Paul Stevens, the city engineer. Lynn Rock Subdivision's wastewater will flow to the Memory Ranch lift station on 10 Mile Road. Lynn Rock Subdivision will add 148 single-family dwelling units and 26 fourplex buildings representing 104 equivalent dwelling units. The total impact to Memory Ranch lift station based on the preliminary plat information equals 252 equivalent dwelling units. Memory Ranch lift station can accommodate the additional demand with the understanding that each construction phase will be individually evaluated in concert with other subdivisions that will also feed wastewater to Memory Ranch subdivision and their respective phases. We have projected when other subdivisions will come online and estimate that approximately halfway through the Lynn Rock subdivision development, an already designed pump upgrade will be needed. The cost for the pump upgrades will be proportionately shared with the contributing subdivision developments.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Following review, staff has determined the annexation, rezone, and preliminary plat are within technical compliance of the CUNA City Code, Idaho State Code, and CUNA Comprehensive Plan. If the council approves the annexation, rezone, and preliminary plat, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section K of the staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand for any questions.
All right, questions for Doug. All right. Seeing none.
I got one.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
The crazy math question here. 26 fourplexes is 104 EDUs. That doesn't add up, right?
Yeah.
26 fourplexes equates to 104 units, and the EDUs are based on unit.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Silly questions are over. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Very good. And the applicant, would you like to present? Jane Suggs, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. I know that we didn't.
Tap the green light. There you go.
There you go. Oh, that's loud. Thank you, Mayor and council members. Jane Suggs, representing Lynn Rock Subdivision. Knowing that we didn't have the PowerPoint, I brought some hard copies, and I have a few page numbers to also refer to. I'd like to hand these out, if possible.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Great. Thank you.
Again, thank you, Mayor. I brought these along because, like I said, I was kind of planning on a PowerPoint, but I think we can work through this. And I do want to thank Doug for a pretty clean and clear overview of the project. 4.4 acres on the east side of Linda Road. And as he explained, we are annexing just a very small piece, which was kind of surprising, right in the middle of this property. If you looked at your I think it's on page 14 of 187, which is our project on in your packet. There's a little plan that shows the vicinity, and it shows a little circle in the middle, and that's the piece that we're annexing. I think we'll just refer to the landscape rendering, which is on page 111 of 187. And that's going to take a while to pull up. Nope. Thank you. 111. All right. Thank you, Vanna. There we go. Yes, please. And it's on the front page of your package here, basically. And it's a beautiful plan. So that's why we're going to refer to that one. We really have a nice mix of commercial lots and residential housing types to create a true mixed use community that meets the goals and the principles of the comprehensive plan. We have single family lots that are alley loaded. You can see those along the north and in the center of the property. Those are 3,360 square feet, and then larger standard lots, they range from 3,600 square feet to over 12,000 square feet. Most of the lots there that you see on the plan are within 5,000 to 8,000 square feet, with those are standard front load. We are requesting, of course, as we typically do when we're doing alley loads, your code hasn't quite caught up to that. So we are asking for director's approval of the frontages that are less than 40 feet. You have a requirement on that even for the alley load lots, which can be quite a bit narrower, and the 15 front yard setback because we're not having garages in the front. Those have been approved in almost all your subdivisions that have similarly sized lots. We have plenty of open space. 9.7% of the space is usable, and that includes this 2-acre park that you see on this plan. On the plan, and it's on the kind of in the southwest corner. That's about 2 acres. It will be improved with some picnic shelters and a community playground area. Let's see. We also, of course, have our regular pathways that take people to that open space throughout the community. So you see those cutting through some of the blocks. They'll be landscaped. The fourplexes, which I really like this design of fourplexes because they're kind of built around their own common space. So it makes that very convenient for the folks that live in that community. And it's sort of block-like. So it's almost like a single family subdivision because it's not, you're not going into dead ends anywhere. You actually can drive around through the fourplex community. They have their own open space gathering space that is just under an acre. As Doug mentioned, Jarvis Drive will be constructed as a mid-mile residential collector and will eventually extend to Meridian Road. So there's only a short amount of, I'm working on a project on Meridian Road, which takes up another quarter mile. So between that project and this one, and that one's in Meridian, there's just a half mile between. And the property, so there's about a quarter mile east of here that's still in Meridian, but I don't know that it's ready for development quite yet, but the next half mile is. So it'll be a way to get to Meridian Road. Well, of course, sewer has been in the news, and of course, sewer will be extended by the developer along Linder down to the Spring Hill subdivision and then down to the Memory Ranch lift station. It'll be then lifted up to the treatment plant that's right there on 10 Mile. And you've got the statement in the back of your package as a statement from Paul. We did get a message from Lisa Holland. She was curious about putting a new driveway. So this plan doesn't show it, but if you look at that lot number two, the commercial lot in the corner in the very northwest corner here, you'll see a driveway. And just across from that, where we've talked to ACHD and we'll add a driveway to the south in that location as well. They said the offsets were fine. And that was something that Lisa suggested that we do to make sure that we had great access to those commercial properties. What I've done is actually included a few examples of some homes. And I don't know how they were added to the packet. And Doug might have to help me figure out how those were added to the packet of information, but they are in your paper packet. So if you look on page two of the paper packet I sent out, those are some of the alley loaded homes. On the next page are some of the front loaded homes on some of the narrower lots. Then we have some standard 50 foot lots on the next page. And on the next page, we have some 60 foot wide plus lots that have three car garages. And then we have a picture of a fourplex. So those were online as they were added last Thursday, but I don't know if they're in your packet, but they're on the, okay. Okay, I'm sorry that I'm not sure because it wasn't in the packet that was on the agenda, but it was in the packet that was sent separately. I'll do this well next time. There we go. So again, alley loaded lots. Oh, I went too fast. Those are the front loads. And again, the 50 foot lots, 50 foot lot. And that's generally 50. It could be 52, it could be 57, but generally they go by the width so that we can figure out what the house product looks like. And then these with the three car garages typically go on 60 foot lots. I just thought you might be interested in seeing because we have such a nice mix of housing opportunities for folks. I don't have a whole lot to add. I will certainly stand for question, but I very respectfully request your approval of our annexation. Our three zones that we're rezoning to, and also our preliminary plat for Lynn Rock subdivision. And I will answer any questions you might have.
Okay, questions for the applicant.
I have a simple one. When you're dealing with these alley homes, where do the trash receptacles go, in front of the curb or in the alley?
I think for your J&M trash pickup, likely go in the front. So you'll have to roll them out to the front, just like I do from my side of my yard. They'll generally in the side, And some of these, you see that there's some fences between the houses, and that's generally where the trash cans can reside. If you keep them in your garage, like some people do, they're pretty clean. you would roll them out to the front yard. They have, yes, they do. They have in the back. So you would take them around to the front. Yeah.
Okay, any further questions? All right, not at this time, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this is a public hearing, and was there anybody who wishes to testify who didn't get a chance to sign up to testify yet? Okay, you didn't sign up? Okay. All right, then you're up, Martha Drake. Thank you.
Green button, you said?
It's on right now.
It is? Okay. Yeah. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. I do have one concern. My name is Martha Drake. Sorry, I'm not used to doing this. So anyway, my one concern is that the school district, there's a letter that was written to by David Reinhardt, and the North School District lines that are submitting will not be in our district, but it would be in the West Ada district. And with that home area, the Link Went Rock area, the boundaries are very in right at the border of where they are and we are. So they say that the school district here will not. It says, please make note in your plans, because I noticed one of the neighborhood concerned was school, and it is not in within their district. So my concern is, who's going to take care of it? We need an email, an email needs to be sent to the West Ada, because it wasn't in the documentation for this one that's here. It's on page 165, if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
Okay, 165. And that was my only concern. Where are we going to transfer these kids? Because if you look on the map, the CUNA district, you're going to have to transport them unless we get another school within this area. So we can't see this, but if you pull it up on Google, famous Google,
okay,
you'd find it. Thank you.
All right. Do anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. And so from what I saw, I guess it was questioned in the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, and West Ada School District didn't reply to any request for comment. Was that right? Okay. And then I guess so then, was there anybody else who wanted to testify that didn't sign up? All right. Thank you. If you would like to do the rebuttal.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. And thank you, Ms. Drake, for bringing that up. I actually did some research. That is in the West Ada School District, that property. Those schools, based on their maps, they're online. They'll go to Mary McPherson Elementary School, which is in the West Ada District. Right now, 2020, so I don't have 21 numbers, but in 2020, their enrollment was 495. Their design capacity is 675. If the kids want to go to the modified calendar, they would go all the way up to Chaparral, but Mary McPherson's not that far away, and it's in the West Ada District. The Victory Middle School is the school in West Ada that the kids would attend. They have an enrollment of 885, and their capacity is 1,000. And Meridian High School with an enrollment of 1854 with a capacity of 2,075. West Ada kind of estimates about 1,000 new kids every year of all grades. And so I'm sure they're working out things now because of the COVID, and they may be changing how their numbers are. But those were recent numbers. So it looks like all the schools that these kids would attend in the West Ada school district have capacity. West Ada uses 0.7 students per household for all 13 grades. So then they would split that out in the 13 grades. So that's just a response to that. Also, I can answer any other questions. There were a few things that came up. Of course, you've seen we did a traffic study. We will be paying some mitigation, not only to ITD, but we will have to do some work in our right-of-way. I think there's a turn lane, or maybe not. Maybe we decided we didn't need a turn lane. I have to look at my TIS, but we'll definitely do all the things that are requested in our traffic study and working with ACHD.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, council questions. So the other thing then, I think it almost appears like this is in Meridian's fire district. Is that right?
Uh-huh, it would be.
Did we send a notification to Meridian Fire?
I don't remember seeing that, but I could have missed it. So a notification was not sent to Meridian Fire. They're not on our general distribution list for agency comments. So we have an agency notification transmittal that we send out to a list of different agencies to comment on our projects. The Meridian Fire District is not on that list. They didn't actually receive a notification from the city.
Okay. So would one have been sent to the CUNA Fire District then?
That is correct. The CUNA Fire District did receive a...
And then they didn't...
They did not comment.
Obviously, no. Okay. Legal question then, Bill. What would your recommendation be? I think it's important that fire districts have a chance to chime in. It's not in the CUNA Fire District who was sent notification. It's in the Meridian Fire District who wasn't sent notification.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bill Gigray, city attorney, 5700 East Franklin Road, Napa, Idaho, Suite 200. In response to your question, the application process under the LUPA law is pretty clear that you have to provide notice to the agencies providing services in the area that it's within which it is, and if portions of this particular application are included in, I assume this is a Meridian Rural Fire Protection District that you're concerned with, because if it's in the Meridian, it's in the city of Meridian, and we're not even dealing with it, but I am familiar with that district. My recommendation would be, since it's on the record that they didn't get notice, that you would continue this hearing. And then that you would, we have to provide them 15 days notice under the law for a sufficient time period, and that they be provided notice and an opportunity to present comments, and then reset this hearing for the receipt of comments. It would seem to me that if they have the opportunity to comment, that they have received notice, if they feel like there is some due process objection that they would have because they haven't gotten notice thus far, they would have ample opportunity to do it. And I think we can cure this by continuing at sufficient time to give that notice and continue the hearing. Not since you're continuing it and everybody else has read notice, I don't think you have to go through the republication process and all of that. I just think we would need to provide them with written notice of this hearing and request that they provide comment and or appear at the continued hearing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And since that's 15 days, you probably got to go 3 weeks out.
Well, we'd have that.
Yes.
I got a fire question.
Go ahead.
On the other side, the fire service lines, the hydrants, do they have to come from Meridian?
No.
So they can come from us as a city, and Meridian would still be able to use them.
Okay. Yes.
My guess would be that both fire districts have minimum standards for fire flow, and that would be the same. I don't know that Meridian's going to have any objection. However, I'm not sure. So, but our standard should be pretty common, I think. Mm-hmm. So. Although I haven't been a fire commissioner for a while.
Okay, then let's see. So would that be 15 days? Okay, so Mr. Mayor, members of the council, staff would request that this item be continued to April 6th, 2021.
All right, so are we ready to do that now, or does council have other questions they want to address before we continue for the fire question? If we're ready to continue, we can.
I don't have anything.
Make that motion.
I have nothing.
Yeah, there's no more.
Does applicant have any?
I do.
Yes. I have not. You can step forward.
Thank you very much again, Jane Sykes, representing the subdivision.
Black the red.
Go again.
There we go.
Red light.
Red light, green light. Jane Sykes representing Lynn Rock. Yes, we would appreciate the opportunity for getting that comment and not having to start over again and with re-notification. So April 6th works. And I may have a conflict. So if our discussion is just about the fire, that would be a good thing. So I can make sure someone is here to represent the project if I can't be here. I do know that this is in an area, and this is kind of for my education, it's in an area that was recently added into your area of impact, right? That vote was taken just less than 6 months ago. And yeah. I was wondering if there was discussions now between Meridian Rural Fire District and CUNA's district to actually transfer some of that responsibility. So just for my edification, because thank you.
Yes, Bill.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bill Gigway, city attorney. I'm the same one that spoke a few minutes ago, so I won't repeat the address. There's a specific statutory procedure in which property is annexed, de-annexed from a fire district and then annexed into another fire district. It requires a petition process, consent on the part of the district which it would be withdrawn from, and of course a petition process for annexation in the other. I know the answer to this question because I'm attorney for the fire district in CUNA, and I think we have a council member who also would know, and there has never been, to my knowledge, any application for any de-annexation, and there wouldn't really be any need for it because the infrastructure that provides the fire flow is available, and it's the responsibility of the fire district within their boundaries to provide the EMS and the fire protection services within those boundaries. We have mutual aid back and forth between districts, so in terms of the way the service is provided, it doesn't affect anything. We just provide the infrastructure and the fire flow with your development as well. So no, there is no activity in that, and I appreciate the mayor's request bringing that question up because we are mandated to provide notice to every government entity providing services within the boundaries of the proposal. So this is a cleanup.
Okay.
Can I ask one more thing?
I'm sure.
Typically don't like to get myself in trouble, but
oh, go ahead.
While we're waiting, did West Ada get notified? West Ada Schools? Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure while we're at it.
Yeah, thank you for bringing up the research you did on yes, West Ada, because yeah, that's helpful. That's
yes,
basically the same information CUNA School gives us. So
yes, yeah.
So thank you for that.
And West Ada is pretty good about responding, so I'm surprised that they did not. So, but thank you. Yes, let's we'll continue this and have that information available. So
okay, thank you. Very good. Thank you. All right, so yeah, if you want to.
Okay, then we're tabling.
If everybody's right. ready, then we'll just continue this. We'll leave the public hearing open and.
Okay, I move then we leave the public hearing for preliminary plat 20-09S, the annexation request 20.04AN and 20.05ZC. Am I tabling or just leaving it open? How do I? Oh. Continuing it, excuse me, till the April 6th, 2021 meeting.
A second. Motion's made and seconded to continue the public hearing on 20-09S, 20-04AN, and 20-05ZC until the, did you say April 25th?
April 6th.
April 6th. 2020 meeting. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. My brain wasn't functioning. All right, that brings us to business items. Zamzow Park design update, Bobby Withrow.
Mayor, Council, so I wanted to bring this to you guys, little back history with it. We have contacted the property owners close to it, gotten their opinions. We did a survey, actually had a couple different options. What I'm bringing forward tonight is the combination of the two that everybody commented on and liked. So I'm bringing it before you to pick it apart. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. That way I can get my comments back to our engineering company and we can move forward with some more public outreach. As you know, last year was really hard to reach out to the public because of COVID. So hopefully this year will be a little bit easier. So I stand for questions and comments.
What, Bobby, what is the exact location of this park again?
For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director, 270 South Orchard Street. This is it's over by Swan Fall Storage, just across the tracks on Short Lane. I will go through some of the things that are on it. We do have an upper and lower playground equipment. We do have an outdoor workout facility. As you can see, there's pathways all around it. We have it slated for two ball fields, tennis court, pickleball. I told them we wanted enough parking for the overflow for CUNA Day stuff. And then you will notice that there is a funky area right in here. That is because when we made the decision to put the bridge over Swan Falls, there needed to be a road that went through there. And that's where they decided the road would go, would kind of along that property. So we have incorporated it. In case a bridge does go in.
To leave the right of way open.
Yep, to leave the right of way open and we don't have to dig up grass and do all that stuff. Yeah.
And comment? You had mentioned that somebody was talking about doing something between the baseball fields so that you could put them together, make a soccer field or something. Was that something you were still looking at or?
Yes. Sorry, Chris. So, yes. So in this area, oops, we're going red. Probably right in here. We would make this like a multi-purpose field
So there could be like a soccer field right here. We just take down the fence.
Okay.
So, that still is an option.
Okay.
That was on one of our, we had an A and B and it was on one of those. It wasn't the popular one with the surrounding homeowners, but you know, we could always put it in. So.
And so would you point out where the homeowners actually would be on the line, just kind of where the houses are?
Yep.
Oh, right there. Okay. I see the back of them now. Awesome. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for Bobby? This is basically just kind of for your information, give you some time to soak it in, and you can get comment back to him whenever you want. But he's just kind of providing an update and looking for any comment you might have. So
just a question for you, Bobby. I know it's very preliminary, but what of the drawings on here is public right away? What's going to be public right away when it comes to the entries and stuff?
Councilman Christensen, I'll show you right now. So what I horribly drew in blue is the right-of-way area through our property. You will notice that the rest of it will be paved. We will be talking with ACHD. There is plans for a roundabout eventually right there. When we talked to them at the beginning, they threw out the potential of us putting in that roundabout because of traffic flow. But they told us to come and talk to them when we get farther down the line.
Perfect. Thank you.
Do you have any other colors you would like to use?
Absolutely.
All right. Any other questions for Bobby on that? All right. Thank you. That's exciting. It'll be good to get that up and going when we can. So appreciate that. And since you're there. Consideration to approve two new full-time positions for the Parks Department.
See how he leads us into that?
Uh-huh.
We've got this cool park we need to build. Oh, wait, there's more. Mm-hmm.
I did my homework on that one.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it's not his first meeting.
Mayor, Council, I'm coming before you tonight to, it sounds bad, but ask for two new employees. The reason for this is historically we've counted on seasonal employees to come on during the summer and make up a gap that we have for maintenance in the parks. In recent years, that has been almost impossible. The people we have got are actually friends or kids' friends that we know or people that are just looking to retire. This year, we've had it out for 2 months and we've had zero interest in the seasonal spot. We did some looking around and we do, our pay is with or more than the cities that surround us. Talking with some other cities, they do reach out to temp agencies. We have looked into that too, but found out that it was going to cost the city a lot more than what we'd budgeted for. I'm coming before you tonight because we are about halfway through the year and I budgeted for 5 total seasonals. One of them is going to help with the Ranger program like always. The other 4 that we tend to hire out, like I said, there's no interest and we can convert those 2 into 2 full-time employees, a little bit more pay benefits. So we can get really good candidates in here and move forward with a lot of the projects like the Zamzos Park. In my memorandum, I did list out some of the projects we are going to be working on this summer with or without the full-time employees. It would just make it a lot easier and smoother. Also recently, I just took over the building and facilities department. So if there is a chance that they do have downtime, they will be assisting in that as well. I stand before you for any questions.
Okay, questions for Bobby. So each year this has become more and more of a challenge, and they really rely on the seasonal help, especially when it gets summertime and mowing lawns and sprinkling and irrigating and fertilizing and all the things they do. And it's become very difficult. And so as we look at this and we can see that there's really not a lot of cost difference in the reducing the number of seasonals and adding some full-time help, I think that fits in well. We did move the fleet and facilities from Public Works to under Bobby's direction, trying to kind of help take some of the load off of Paul Stevens and his department in Public Works. So I think that fits in well. I think they can work to help do maintenance on things and help build stuff as we need it built. And we can save quite a bit of money on some of the projects we do if we do them in-house, and we do that quite frequently. So I think it's actually a good wise move and good fiscal responsibility with the dollars, and especially when we're not getting any reply for our seasonal workers. So that's kind of where we got with that. So I think mostly Bobby just wanted to bring it forward so that you know what's going on. I don't I guess we would look for a motion to approve that, just so that things get switched around like they should when it comes to payroll and that type of thing. So
question.
Yes, go ahead.
Are you going to need additional vehicles for these two people?
Not at this time. I actually, we did have a truck and a car for office work, and we actually reallocated that back to the staff. So we're just kind of shifting stuff around to make it work.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anything further?
No. With because of another situation, I know all these statistics here, but with 72 acres of grass to mow weekly and 9 parks and the greenbelt and the dog park and the fire station, well sites, a mile of greenbelt, it seems like the obvious choice for me. I mean, I don't want to have to help mow that much every week, so I can't hardly get my own lawn done.
That's why you haven't signed up for seasonal?
Correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah. He wouldn't hire me anyway. So I would then just need to make a motion to approve 2 full-time positions. Is that how we want to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Then I would move we approve the addition of 2 new full-time positions to the Parks Department.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
That brings us to ordinances. This is the second reading of Ordinance 2021-06. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, amending Title III CUNA City Code by the addition thereto of a new Chapter 10 providing for daycare licensure, requiring a daycare license, adopting state code definitions, provide for types of daycare licenses and fees, providing for licenses application investigation, license term, city clerk issuance, denial and revocation, providing for the license applicant denial appeals to the City Council, order to show cause hearings before the City Council for license revocations, declaring it unlawful to engage or conduct or operation of a daycare without a license, and establishing a punishment, directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date. And again, we were asking that this be taken for the full three readings. So the next reading would be at the next council meeting, and we would take action on that then. Has anyone thought of any other questions or concerns you might have?
Mayor, if I could.
Okay.
It's just a question, as maybe someone may know, but at what point is it considered a daycare as opposed to just kind of an in-house babysitter?
So I think I'm going to let Chris go ahead and answer, but for me, what I've noticed is that a lot of the daycares, or a lot of the people, if they're watching their brother's kids and that type of things, then that's just kind of an indoor in-house babysitter, that type of thing. But when you start doing it for a profit and bringing kids in and advertising and that type of thing, then I think it goes under the umbrella of a daycare. So I don't know, Chris, if you can answer that better.
The state has a very clear line outline as to when it's just, you know, watching relatives' kids and when they require licensure. And when they require licensure, we would require the child care business license.
Okay. Just back to following state guidelines on that.
Yes.
So, okay, perfect.
And again, our main purpose here is to just to ensure the safety of these kids and make sure that there's background checks that are provided for. Obviously, they're not going to catch everybody. There's always a first time for somebody to do something bad, and a background check won't catch you before you do something bad. So it's just intended to help be a protection for the kids and the parents. Nobody wants to have to go through a bad situation. So that's the intent of it. And I'm not one that likes to over-regulate on things, and I realize that this is adding some regulation, but I think in this case it's warranted. So yes, yep, I saw one. Yes, Bill.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you. And Bill Gigray, city attorney. I would just reemphasize what the city clerk, Chris Engels, just advised you. If you'll notice that in section 3.10.2 of the proposed ordinance, you adopt the state code and the state definitions, which are the Department of Health and Welfare's regulation of daycares. And of course, those definitions identify who they're regulating, and that's how we're doing it in this ordinance.
Yes. Thank you. All right, so that is all we have on the agenda tonight. Was there any items that council wanted to discuss or any big announcements? The only other thing I had was that I was gonna just tell you about moving the fleet and facilities over to the Parks Department, but we already went over that, so. I don't know that there's really, I mean, unless there's something you really wanna hit on, there's.
Just a couple of bills that I think are good ones. Senate Bill, I think 1020 is one of them, and that's the statutory immunity for recreational property, which I think works really well with the city's recreational facilities and parks, and it grants immunity, which we already have a statute in that regard, but this really broadens the definition of ownership to include license agreements. So if you get a license agreement with a canal company to put a pathway on there, the recreational immunity provisions in this section are also broadened. And I think it lessens the argument that maybe an irrigation district or someone else would say, well, I don't want to put a pathway there. I'll have all this liability. Well, as long as it's used for recreational purposes and you don't charge a fee, there's immunity under the law. So I think that is a particularly good one. Another one, which would affect ACHD, but also could affect pathway development in the city as you look at connecting up with Meridian and some others. There's a statute in the Idaho code that allows highway districts to set aside up to 8 feet of pathways and adjacent to their roadways. And I think it's House Bill 131 allows that agency, if it determines there's a necessity, to make it even wider. And I know from my work through FACTS and others that there will be some potential for connecting pathways that are going to have to be adjacent to public roads for a while until there's more development. And I think that bill assists that. It's my understanding with regards to the property tax bill that Senator Rice has been dealing with, that maybe there's going to be one more amendment now. I'm not sure. That just keeps going back and forth and back and forth. And I don't know how that's going to pan out. But again, I think they're looking, if they want to provide property tax relief, they're looking in the wrong section of the Idaho code. They should be dealing with assessment process and how that's done. There's a lot more, I think, potential for even remedies and relief of property taxpayers if they would deal with how that's done rather than trying to limit government and how much they can increase their property tax. And then if the memorial one goes through, if you can get your name on a city facility somewhere between now and July 1, it'll take a joint resolution of the legislature to change it. So even street names.
So we need to hurry up and get the Warren Christian Memorial Park sign done. Well, we'll call it that. Then, you know, someday it'll be applicable and they can't change it until then. Yeah. All right. Very good. Yes. Thank you on those. Did anybody have anything else? If not, meeting adjourned. Thank you.